Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Houston's home for Texas A&M Athletics. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 802 on ESPN 97.5, 737-80-3776 is the number if you'd like to. We've been talking, and Jackie brought it up. Boy, this conversation about UT is a lot different than the one yesterday about Texas A&M, and it really, really is. And you know what? If we have to hear from the authority on Longhorn football and all things Longhorn, Longhorn Scott is with us here on the show to respond to all of the controversy that is happening at the University of Texas. Longhorn Scott, what's up?
Hey, guys, good morning. You know, it's always good to hear from Rod Kool-Aid Babers. You know, they called him Mr. Kool-Aid because he had that big smile, just a fun-loving guy who always lights up a room, and he also was a pretty good ball player back in the day. Had a, I don't think he's paid for a meal in Austin in many, many years after having a, I think he had a pick six against OU back in the day. You know, it doesn't matter if you're talking about sports or, you know, a work environment, any kind of an organization. When you have a guy come in and dictate that they've got this vision, they've got, this is our mantra, this is our tagline, whatever, this is our ethos, whatever the office space term is, and then in 3 or 4 years later, you do that again. You know, I think it's a little bit of human nature for people to have their apathy sort of take over. Now, that's not excusable because if you're a football player, you're a competitor, or at least you should be. But, you know, the bottom line is this. You got to get a staff in there. You got to get some consistency. I couldn't even stop to think about how many offensive coordinators we've had since 2009. Or defensive coordinators. You just got to get consistency. You got to get guys that are there long enough for a whole class to cycle through and, you know, to see the consistency and to live it. Until that happens, and even if, look, you know, like Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator, I look at some of these things that are going on, and I think a lot of it, some of it I think is scheme, but some of it is talent. And so you got to get dogs, and you got to get dogs not only on the field, but you got to get recruiting dogs on the staff. I think we've done a decent job of that. But, yeah, you know, I've been, since I was a freshman in 91, I've only missed 12 games in Austin. And if you can think about what's going on in that time frame, I've seen a lot of good and a lot of bad. And I'm going tomorrow with my dad. He's 77, and I won't be able to do that one day. So I'm going to, by God, go to the game, and I'm going to put my horns up, and I'm going to root for him. But, you know, these bad times make the good times really good. You know, it's like my Aggie friends who can remember that day when back in 1939 when they were watched their team win a national championship. Oh, wait a minute. They can't. I can do that. I was alive. It happened in my lifetime. And it's a distant memory, but, you know, I'm hopeful that it happens again.
There might be some Aggies out there that remember the 1939 championship. Okay?
You know, you realize there are a lot of historical mile markers that seem like that were a long, long time ago, that actually were more, that national championship was more recent to than today, right? Like, I think, World War I, you know, the invasion of Poland. I mean,
not World War I, World War II.
I don't think many of those folks are alive anymore, Johnny.
Yeah, maybe not. But you know what? They did have a top five finish last year, Scott, and I don't remember last time the Longhorns did that.
Hey, but let's go back to that in a second. But am I right though? I mean, right? It doesn't matter where you work, right? If there's a constant recycling of vision, of idea, of mantra, And, you know, you got Tom Herman comes in. He's going to be a jerk in his first meeting and cursing dudes out. He's going to be a real tough guy. And then you got – you had Strong with his, like, 10 or whatever they were, like, edicts about, oh, we don't have guns on us. Okay, that's always pretty good advice.
Well, that is a good idea, Scott. Not let's not bring guns to practice, okay? This ain't Oklahoma with Barry Switzer, okay? We don't bring guns to practice. That's probably a pretty good one.
You can talk to Casey. You can talk to Charles Thompson. I'll just say this. I wholeheartedly endorse Bo Davis. I love what he said. And I think, yeah, the guy that did that, whoever recorded that, did think probably that it was going to come back and this cancel culture was going to get him, but ain't happening. Like, people love it. I love it. And these guys need to, like, let that sink in. But, hey, brighter days are ahead, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be down with my horns up. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, brighter days have to be ahead, Scott, because they can't get any worse than this, that's for sure. Gary wants to talk about the issues at UT. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how's it going? So, just want to say Bo Davis is a national hero, and everybody complaining about that, I just don't get it. I'm not even, like, that old, get off my lawn guy. I'm only 38, but that's football. Those are men. They're not kids, and they play like crap, like, for four games straight. So I have no issue with that at all. Number two, there's a talent issue. Like, I watch all the games. I'm a big Longhorn guy, subscribe to the board. We have, like, one or two players that will be above average or that will start. We have a wide receiver that's a freshman from Michigan and California, and we have Bijan. That's it. Everybody else is just not that good or just average. Look at the end of the draft. I'm not sure if he's had a first-round draft pick since Timmy Vaccaro, which was, I don't know, 2009. The team just doesn't have the talent. A lot of things go into that. The SEC rising, Alabama, Ohio State taking all of our talent. And another thing is, out of our three last coaching hires, Texas is the super blue blood, and we've yet to go get an established 2-5 head coach. We've got Charlie Strong from Louisville, which at the time was, I don't know what conference, but it wasn't the ACC. We didn't get Tom Herman from the University of Houston. Then we go and get Alabama's offensive coordinator, and look at A&M. They went and got Jimbo Fisher, an established championship head coach. And then all of those things add up to the fact that we're just not very good. And I'll always be a fan, but it's just not good right now. So Bo Davis did what needed to be done, and hopefully we'll make some improvements.
Yep, we'll see.
Yeah, it's nothing really beyond what he said.
No.
I do think there's been a culture issue in there in terms of the one thing that's always very strange to me is we talk about athletes in this day and age. They don't like to be coached as hard, this, that, and the other. And I think for the most part, it's true. I've got a brother who coaches high school football. I've got friends who are trainers for athletes, not just Danny, but I mean guys who train for combine, guys who train pro athletes. Coaches in every area will tell you that that's accurate. However, you look at Alabama, and Nick Saban doesn't back off of how he coaches. He's going to be the same guy. They're either getting guys who are mentally tough enough to handle hard coaching, and some guys leave Alabama. That happens too, obviously. But I think it's almost, it just goes to show you there is something to be said for a player can go in and fall into the groove of this is what's expected in this program, and I either can get out or I can learn to accept the coaching, and it's not just going to be pat on the back coaching. And some coaches pat on the back, and they do great too. Pete Carroll was like that. It's not just there's not just one way. There's different types of coaches on different staffs too. I remember when John Hoke was headed over. John Hoke came from a Texas staff that they could be a little rough, like verbally. You know, they'd hit you with the bad words. And when he went to Chicago to be a cornerback coach, one of the first conversations the Bears had with him was, "Hey, this is Lovie Smith as a head coach here. Lovie doesn't play that. You don't MF the players on the field, and like that's just not Lovie's thing. He doesn't want that." And so, you know, there's different ways to do it, but at Alabama, Nick Saban coaches hard. He coaches well. Players get a lot better. They're extremely good technique wise across the board. He loses a lot of coaches, a lot of turnover with his own coaching staff, but they're always very, very well coached. They're always coached hard, and they always come out, you know, like the best versions of themselves. That's why a lot of Alabama players don't get a lot better in the pros, because Nick gets the most out of them a lot of times. But how are they all able? They come from the same recruiting pool. How are they able to get the guys who can handle hard coaching and be mentally tough on the field and physically tough. I don't understand it. Why can one school, if all the players are too soft and this, that, and the other, why is Saban still able to do that? Why can Kirby Smart do that?
They got a different kind of player. You come in with a different mind. And the leadership. Rod Babers was exactly right with that Josh Moore thing. That he was late after the crappy game that he had, and he's and Sark has got a screaming incident with him on the field after he's late after he played a crappy game. Man, you got to come down hard. The leaders on the team got to come down hard on that dude, and it's just not happening. You got to be able to police yourself in. The coaches got to do it too. But I hope nothing happens to Bo Davis. I like what he did. Quite frankly. He was absolutely right. 812 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. We've got Astros talk on the other side here. We got some stuff that we got to get to. Jim Click was on MLB.
James Click.
I call him Jim.
Oh, okay. I didn't know y'all.
He's friends with him. Jim. He's okay. One of those. I call him Ivory James, Towers. But... not like us plebes.
What do you call Dana?
I call Dana. Dana. I called.
You call him D.
I called Jim Harden. Okay.
I've heard what he calls Dana. He doesn't call Dana anything that he can say on the air.
Yeah, I didn't know James Harden was Jim Harden. I haven't heard that before.
Jim Harden.
Okay. It's Jim Click. We'll hear from him. Actually, we've got some really intriguing baseball stuff coming up. Click made an appearance on MLB Network at he gave you some good information.
Absolutely. So we'll do that right after you talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios. If you go to TexasCustomPatios.com, you'll see the before and after section and the work that they've done, and you'll see what some of the houses are. You'll see these pictures, and you think, man, I wish my house could look like that. But see, I was one of those people as well, and then I went through the process, and everything went exactly how Stephen Schell told me it would go. You go in, you want to do it, then you have some hesitation, trepidation. Then a month later, you come back, and you want to do it. And a lot of times you want to add to what you're going to do. They'll do the drawings for you. You'll see the CAD drawings will show you exactly what the project is going to look like. I mean, an exact rendering. And you can really start to see how special your home can be. Check them out for yourself at TexasCustomPatios.com. Go see what they did for me before and after. I was just an average outdoor patio, below average at the time. And they really turned it into something special. You can see it at TCPLance.com. That's TCPLance.com. But this is your chance to turn your house into a home and get it exactly the way you like it at Texas Custom Patios.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's 8:17 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. So, James Click was on MLB Network yesterday. Asked the biggest priorities heading into this offseason. Here was our general manager, James.
Well, certainly Carlos Correa is going to be our primary focus, and shortstop, obviously, if that doesn't line up. But we'll keep those conversations going and see what we can do there. In addition to that, we're going to be looking for probably relief pitching. We actually feel pretty good about our starting pitching. I know I've gotten quite a few questions about that already, but with Christian Javier as an option in the starting rotation and the five guys that we're bringing back, I think we have a lot of depth there in the starting rotation. So we'll be aggressive where we can, but priority one for this organization will be shortstop and Carlos Correa.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious. They're going to have to bolster the bullpen. You probably lose Graveman. I don't know. Maybe you lose Graveman. Maybe you bring him back. I don't know. We'll see. You want to bring back Yimi? Do you want Yimi back?
Oh, God, the whole season he sucked, and postseason he was pretty good. You know, my concern is Nostromi. I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't want to pay too much. I mean, but the idea that Christian Javier is going to be a starter now, what are your thoughts on that? I like Christian Javier as a starter. I haven't seen him in that role for a while, but I liked him when he was a starter. But you almost have to push him up there. So now you're going to have Lance McCullers. I assume Lance is healthy headed into next year?
No. Well, don't assume it, because here is our general manager on update on Lance McCullers Jr.
He's in a no-throw situation, which is exactly what he would be doing if this were the regular season and if it were the off-season. He'd be in a period of not throwing for a few weeks. Normally in the off-season, you let your body, your arm recover. For him, he's just kind of letting the forearm calm down a little bit. The initial scans that we had were that structurally everything looks great, so we're just waiting for the muscle to calm down and recover a little bit, but the long-term prognosis on him is great.
I hope so. We'll see. We'll see whether or not that is the case. We'll see. I've heard that story before. I heard Justin Verlander say he didn't need surgery, and then he's out 2 years. So, yeah, we'll see. And then there's Forrest Whitley. I mean, listen, the organization was right to, you know what, Kyle Tucker's not going anywhere. We want it. Hey, move him. What are you talking about? Bring in a reliever for Kyle Tucker. That's what you got to have that if you want to win a title. Well, you still won the title in 17, and you didn't get rid of Kyle Tucker, which was a godsend. Now, what about Forrest Whitley?
Well, based on when he had the surgery, it'll be a little bit into the season before he will be full go. But everything so far has been looking good, and all the reports have been excellent. So when he gets out there on the mound, once he's fully healthy and once he's not worried about the elbow, I think we'll see the Forrest Whitley that we all know about. And then the guy who was the top pitching prospect in baseball a few years ago. And if he's healthy, he's a big part of our future.
If he's healthy, he's a big part. I mean, how long has this dude been a big part of the future? But you know what? Maybe someday it'll pay off.
I'm tired of hearing about Forrest.
I know, but how long have you heard? Maybe someday.
James, quick question. How's Forrest Whitley coming along? I don't know. He's not suspended for 60 games and out with injuries. He's performing poorly. So, hey, you guys keep asking. I know. I just got here and heard all this talk about him. I've never even seen the kid throw. I have no idea.
It's a throw.
Why y'all keep asking about this Whitley guy? People have been checking on him since 17. Yeah, I know.
So the boys in the afternoon had Keith Law on. So
you remember him? He said that Yuli was a bad first baseman, bad defensive first baseman.
Yeah, I wonder if he caught it for them. Did the boys ask him about that yesterday? Because he put Yuli in. First of all, he put him in his free agents, which he wasn't. They had a team option.
I'm okay with that one because they had a team option.
Yeah, they had a team option. But then he put Yuli's a bad first baseman. Come on, Keith Law. You're better than that. Anyway, you lost a little bit of respect. A little bit. No, a little bit.
You said Yuli couldn't play first base. You're a little out of line yourself there. You're a little out of order.
No.
You shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have said it. The disrespect.
He had an interesting take. I was just looking at SpotTrack. SpotTrack has Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke. How much do you think they have? Well, they don't have a number for Verlander. How much do you think they have that Zach Greinke is his market value is right now?
By the way, the Yuli question was not allowed to be brought up.
It wasn't? Really?
So, no offense to the Killer Bees. You can think it. But you know how that goes. Sometimes in interviews, I'll do the interview, but I don't want to talk about that. You respect the host.
Yeah.
Just say, we're not going to do the
interview. You know what? So that's fine. He might have been a little embarrassed by it.
I would have been.
Yeah.
The guy wins a gold glove. I would have been I screwed that up. I don't want to talk.
You want to correct the record, you know, and address it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
By the way,
true.
Guys,
unless he said beforehand.
That is embarrassing. No, that's really embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Yeah.
To totally miss like that on a gold glover.
Right. So what do you think Zach Greinke's market value is?
Zach Greinke's
according to SpotTrack.
They have what they believe it to be?
Yes.
I believe his market value will be, I don't believe it's anything more than $9 million.
It's $9 million.
Okay.
9.032. Very well done. What do you think they have for Carlos Correa's market value?
I mean, based on 32?
26. 26.6.
I wonder what goes into that.
Now, he won't. Well.
Well, performance.
Performance.
Because $9 million, I came to that number based on age and performance. Well, Carlos, I didn't use performance. I used market value.
Yeah.
I guarantee you I'm going to be higher than. I'm going to be closer than they are.
Yeah. Well, here's what Carlos. Keith Law says his value and the kind of deal that Carlos Correa is going to get.
He should get the Machado Harper range, right? Now, I don't know if those – it's hard for me to recalibrate because we haven't had a regular post or off-season since then, right? Is everyone just spending less now because revenues have been down the last couple of years? Or are teams going to look forward and say, hey, once we get the CBA settled, the pandemic is – look, it's clearly not over, but everyone's acting like it is. And attendance will be back and people are watching on TV, so our revenues should be fine. I feel like the latter is probably the case. And if you look at what Machado and Harper got and say tack on another 5% or so to the average salary, that's about what Correa should settle in.
Yeah. Sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. I don't think he's a – well, we'll see. He's going to be a $30 million plus dollar player.
Yep.
But that's just because – that doesn't mean that's market value. Well, market value is what – I guess what you get. That's market value. But as far as where he fits into the league, Manny Machado – so Bryce Harper did, what, a 14-year deal for $330 million? Manny Machado is a $300 million player. You know what? He's going to get in that neighborhood. Whether or not it's going to be, depending on the years, I don't know that he's a $34 million a year player. We'll see. But we'll see. You know what? He's going to get one of those huge deals.
Would you like to hear from Keith Law? Would you like to hear from when the Killer Bees had him on? Would you like to hear the most obvious comment of the entire interview?
Okay. What is the most obvious?
Hey, Keith, who do you think is ultimately going to decide if Carlos Correa is an Astro?
I'll say as well, I think the world of James Cliff, I think he's tremendous. I think ultimately that's whether Correa stays or goes may depend more than anything else on the owner, because Correa is very much in line to get a 10-year contract, comparable to what Manny Machado and Bryce Harper got a few years ago. So he should get paid. It's the reason he's my number one free agent this offseason. And if Crane wants to keep him, he's going to have to pay market prices and market length, and that's probably not going to be the case right now. Certainly doesn't seem to line up with Jim Crane's behavior the last couple of years.
The first comment we found out was, and this is a game breaker, he said, you know, the guy who's going to decide that is going to be Jim Crane, the owner.
Why are you making fun of him? Of course he is.
Why would you? It's going to be over $30 million a year. Why would you think Click can just like, hey, Jim, listen, are you sitting down? I just gave Carlos $32 million over 10 years. You did what? Yeah, it's we signed it. We're done. We're good. I'm sorry I didn't ask, but ultimately, I'm the general manager, and I make these decisions, Jim. That shouldn't even have to be said.
I am the captain. I am the captain, Jim.
That shouldn't even have to be said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, ultimately, I like James Click, but this is going to be Jim Crane's decision. You don't say.
We were talking about this yesterday. What about Marcus Semien? What about Marcus Semien replacing Carlos Correa? He's going to be a cheaper replacement. I think they have him now. He had a big year. He's going to be in the 20-some million dollar range. I think SpotTrack has him. I think they had him at $18 million. I got to look it up. But Marcus Semien and Keith Law talked about that. Perhaps he replacing Carlos Correa.
Semien's a great call. He feels very much like an Astros sort of player. In terms of, he is a guy who might be a little undervalued by the market for reasons that are not really anything there's nothing wrong with him, right? He had the one off season in 2020, but I feel like we should give anybody a mulligan on that year. His last two full seasons, he was a top five player in the American League.
Yeah, he has been really, really, really good. And he is going to be markedly cheaper, and the kind of years, because he's already 31 years old. I don't think you wouldn't have to give him more than 5 years. This will be his last really big deal. If you could get Marcus Semien 5 years for a 110, I think you'd be getting a bargain and a guy that could step in. He's really good. He is really good. So I think that might be, and you know what? And not that you would forget Carlos Correa, but it certainly would ease the pain. It would ease a lot of the pain having Marcus Semien up there, because he'll come up with some big hits for you as well. I wouldn't mind that at all, because they're going to have some money to spend and spend it on a guy that is going to be a 5 year deal, as opposed to, because that's exactly what they're looking for, and a guy that can play and a guy that can that can produce offensively as well. I think Marcus Semien would be a great replacement. Great replacement.
I wouldn't have a problem with it at all.
No,
but not one single bit. But and I do think they're going to look at free agency, because when you listen to Click talk about their keys are going to be finding bullpen and shortstop if Correa doesn't stick around. Well, that doesn't sound like that doesn't sound like he's going to the minors to go find shortstop just yet. I know everyone's excited about, you know, the potential of Leon and Siri, and Siri, of course, made the team. He's not a young guy. Leon is a little bit younger prospect, but that sounds exactly like a general manager who is saying, we're going to go find help right now.
Marcus Semien on spot track is 19-5, 31.
Oh, he's 31 already. Yeah. Wow.
That's not bad. You can do a 5-year deal with him. Marcus Semien is a $19 million a year guy.
So he'd be 36 years old.
Yeah.
And if you gave Carlos a 9-year deal, he'd be 36 years old. I mean, you can't really cry about how old someone's going to be at the end of a contract if you're willing to give a different shortstop enough money to where he's...
For a $10 million less a year.
I get that. But 9 years, but you still get younger Carlos. You'd get younger Semien. You get good years, too. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? You're getting a back end of Semien only.
You also get the risk of him not being healthy.
That's ultimately the concern.
As opposed to $100 million as opposed to $300 million.
But I'm talking about the idea that the back end of that contract is dead years. Well, it's the same age as Semien. You know what I mean? Only you got the early Semien years.
It's also about $200 million more.
Yeah, no, total cost. Yeah. That argument I'm making is only for, or that I'm just bringing up, is only for when you want to say, hey, look, by the end of this contract, Carlos is, well, he'll be the same age as a guy like Marcus Semien that you're going to give a brand new contract to. So maybe that doesn't hold the same water. The total amount and all that stuff and the guarantee, that's obviously, to me, very legitimate.
That plays into it. 831 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks to the Killer Bees for sharing that audio with Keith Law. Right now, I'm talking about MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. I guess you could probably bet where Carlos Correa is going to end up. I would imagine on MyBookie. I'd have to find it, but I would imagine. Hey, listen.
MyBookie should have Will Dalvin Cook ever play football again.
Well, there's.
As we come back, we'll talk about the fact that he may. Bob Stoops is next, but later on in the show, we'll get
Let's
to this.
Let's go. All right, right now, we got MyBookie, and MyBookie's got everything you could possibly need. I bet yesterday on who's going to win the national championship in college basketball. You got all your college football picks this week. You got NBA. You got NFL. You can play blackjack, NHL, soccer, MMA. It doesn't matter. You got it at MyBookie. You want casino gamble? You want racing? Whatever it is, you got it at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. And whatever deposit you make right now, all you got to do is mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, and they'll match up to $1,000 right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. No! Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Playing Renegades for Coach Stoops. That seems like forever ago, but he was the coach, the head coach of the Renegades, and he's with us right now. He was the coach of the Sooners forever, winning all those championships, and now he's watching his son play for those Sooners as well, and that's got to be a lot of fun. Coach Bob Stoops with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing down there in Houston?
So, tougher to coach or to watch your son play right now?
Oh, that's simple. There's nothing difficult at all about watching my son play. That's pure joy. Enjoying it, having fun. He's having fun. They're doing well. And, nothing's like coaching.
No, right. Well, the nerves of watching your kid play, I had that, you know, as well. And it's a lot of fun. It absolutely is a lot of fun, but it seemed
like. What are you nervous about?
I don't know. I don't know. It just was, for me, it was just tough watching him. I wanted him to do so well. It was easier playing than it was watching him play, to tell you the truth. Let's talk a little bit about those Sooners and where they are in the rankings, Coach. You a little surprised that they're way back there at 9-0?
A little bit, but I'm not concerned. We've got five teams with a loss ahead of them. Seems unusual. All of a sudden, it seems like for the committee that losing doesn't matter. So I don't understand that. OU's got the longest win streak in America going at 9-0. You got five teams ahead of them with a loss. All I can determine from it is they're waiting for them with these last three games, of course, the big games. The schedule's backloaded, you know, with the big games all at the end. And I'm assuming that's what they're saying is, we've got to see you play these teams. But they can justify something one way or another and with a bunch of words anytime they want.
Coach, I'm curious how your perspective. We've had a guy like Jeff Van Gundy on who coached basketball for years and then sat in a chair, has been an analyst. And he did talk about, you know, your perspective changes a little bit. How has your perspective changed at all since you've been in an analyst chair?
I don't know that mine has. I still know what I valued and what was important as a coach. It's still the same, you know, as an analyst or as somebody talking about it all. So I don't really believe mine's changed a whole lot.
You enjoy the analyst role?
Sure. Guys are a lot of fun to be around, a great group of people to work with. So that part of it has really been positive. And, the whole team, the entire supporting cast, producers, every executives, everybody involved in it's just been fantastic. Great people, great family atmosphere, a lot of fun. It's been a great move.
Well, you're in a studio setting. Well, you're out, you're out in the public though.
But one or the other, it depends on the week. This week we're going to be at OU Baylor in Baylor in Waco.
By the way, what about the job Dave Aranda has done?
Field. We've been to Ann Arbor. We're going to be in Ann Arbor for Michigan, Ohio State. We've been we were in East Lansing. So we and a few times we've been in the studio. So whatever works.
I tell you what, the job Dave Aranda has done over there at Baylor, Matt Rhule did a great job, leaves. Baylor takes a hit the very first year with Aranda, and then he bounced back really quickly. He's doing a heck of a job over there in Baylor, isn't he?
He is. They're a really good football team, really solid all the way around. In my role here, I've watched them a lot and really – really believe they're an excellent football team, and yes, Dave Aranda and his whole staff have done a great job with them.
I want to bring up something that you did in 2001 that I think changed college football forever, and it was going to happen, and clearly it had happened before you grabbed on to who was your offense coordinator when you beat Florida State? Who was the OC?
Buzz Mangino.
It was Mangino. That's what I thought. And then Leach was after that or before? He was after, right?
Mike Leach was my first offensive coordinator in 99, my first year here, and then Tech hired him right after the season.
Okay. What I remember...
And hired Chuck Long to replace Mike Leach.
Yeah. What I remember most is that spread offense, and I remember it being talked about that you didn't have the offensive lineman you wanted at the time when you got in there, and you guys started getting the ball out on the flank, and the concept of a big name team, of a big conference school using a spread offense at that time was, people may not remember this, but 20 years ago that was highly unusual, and you guys really introduced it.
That was my purpose in doing it, that no one else was doing it.
Yeah. Can you talk about that concept of how that's come full circle in 20 years and maybe the running game starts to come back now because fewer teams are pounding a rock like they used to?
Well, I think I always, when I hired Mike Leach, I knew it was unusual. I was dealing with he and Hal Mumme at Kentucky when I was a D coordinator at Florida, and I found them to be the biggest pain in the neck to play against than anybody. And they had more yards, more first downs, more time of possession than anyone as well. And I thought, well, if they can do it at Kentucky, why couldn't I do it at Oklahoma? And I felt in time, I didn't believe our line and running backs in our first year were, we were capable of beating people up and running the ball. So this would be a better way to start quickly to just dish the ball around. And as time went, we develop a stronger O-line, running backs, so on, and we'd put the run game with it. And through the years, we did. You know, I had Adrian Peterson here, and Quentin Griffin was almost a 2,000-yard rusher as well. So, you know, it happened quicker than we realized it would. And then I think what's happened here lately, Lincoln Riley, he's been officially booted from the air raid group because he runs the ball so well. And when Lincoln arrived with me, I got to talking with him, and in our first few games, we didn't run the ball enough, and we got in some trouble, barely beat Tennessee, we lost to Texas. And then he started understanding what he had in the run game. We got a great line. We had Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. Like, look, we can run the ball to go with everything else you're doing. And we started to run the ball more and better. And then, you know, and Lincoln's a bright guy. He starts designing all these big chunk deep pass plays off of the run game, off of play action. And that's when we really took off. And he hasn't slowed down since. So it's everything evolves a little bit. And the run game with the air raid, I think, is where Lincoln has really mastered it. And being able to run it and throw it. I think Ryan Day is very similar in Ohio State and how he offensively, how they do things. And anyway, so that's kind of the evolution of it.
Bob Stoops with us here at Coach Bob Stoops on Twitter if you want to follow him. Coach, what are Oklahoma and Texas going to have to do when they transition to the SEC?
Continue to recruit well and play well. I don't think there's any question. Oklahoma looks like they're in better shape to take care of it than Texas does. So OU's built like an SEC school. We've had our share of winning. Does anyone think we're going to win it? You know, the conference 7 straight years. I don't think that we know that's not happening, but we'll be up there contending for it. And I don't know what the issues are at Texas, but it sure from afar doesn't look good.
No.
I think they've been outscored in the second half 102-24. Is that right? Something like that?
It's bad.
So that's concerning. And we'll see what they're able to do. But I know OU will be ready for it.
Well, what do you think of that move? A conference that you've been dominating, that you're getting into college football playoff, that you're winning title after title after title and moving to the SEC. Is it a good move for OU?
Absolutely, or it wouldn't be happening. What you also have to consider are, the financial implications, one, for TV dollars and exposure on and on. And then two, filling that 85,000-seat stadium and all those suites every weekend. You know, we've been sold out every year for 21, 22 years since I came in 99, but you can't guarantee that moving forward after a year when people got used to not coming to games. And all of a sudden now, that 85-seat stadium, our Japans are showing up for Florida, whoever, Alabama, LSU, Arkansas. You think that'll fill our stadium?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So
there's a lot more than just, oh, we were winning the conference, so let's not do anything. OU isn't intimidated to go play for it with anybody. So we'll win our share of SECs as well.
Does a group of five school like Cincinnati, does Cincinnati belong in the playoff talk?
Sure they do. And they're in it.
What you've seen with your human eyes, are they good enough to compete with those top teams?
Oh yeah, definitely. By the end of the season, will their schedule strength be strong enough? That's going to be tough.
I have a feeling Dana's going to beat them.
On what other people do.
I have a feeling that Dana and the Cougs have a chance at eliminating them from the playoff.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, Dana's team's playing great. He's our, won some big games beating SMU. And let's face it, I mean, Cincinnati could have got beat last week by Tulsa. I mean, we all saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no question. How about the job? We haven't talked about this, but how about the job that Mel Tucker's done over there at Michigan State as well? I know they just got beat by Purdue, who plays the role of giant killers there at home. But, boy, the turnaround from Michigan State, I mean, and I love the fact that they're another team that knows who they are, and they play each week as a team that says, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to try to dominate you.
Yeah, they are playing great. Mel Tucker's done an awesome job. I've seen them up close and firsthand, and they are very good. I love the way they play. They play smart. They don't ask their quarterback to do too much. Kenneth Walker III, I believe, if you voted on the Heisman today, he probably would be the winner or should be. But, you know, that's today. You know, there's still 4 big weeks with games and conference championship games coming. So we'll see what everyone else is able to do. But Michigan State's a really good football team. You know, good defense. They can run the football. They don't turn it over. They play really smart, which, you know, it's a lot like you said, a lot like Baylor plays. You know, they don't turn it over. Although they did, TCU forced a couple of big turnovers last week on them, and that helped them win the game. But overall, that's kind of how they played.
It's Bob Stoops with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We appreciate your time, hey, Coach.
Cool story about Coach Stoops. Coach, our good friend John Harris, who is a sideline reporter for the Texans and comes from a coaching family. He was a high school coach in Florida. He saw Coach Stoops at a coaching clinic. You were at a bar somewhere having lunch or dinner or whatever it was, and Johnny went over to you and introduced himself, said, Coach, I'm getting ready to face this kind of offense. Do you have any advice for me? And he said, you drew up a defense on a beverage napkin and showed him what he should do, and he used that when he was coaching high school in Florida, and it absolutely 100% worked. And I thought, as somebody who comes from a coaching family myself, I thought that was great. You took time out to help a high school coach when you didn't have to on your personal time. That says something to me.
Well, I've always donated or wanted to give time to other coaches, no matter what level or where they're at. To me, it's a great fraternity. All us coaches go through a lot of the same things, and anytime I've been able to share something with someone that might help, I've always been willing to. And you know, about every other coach I've ever come in contact with is the same way.
Yeah, no, it's a great fraternity, that's for sure. Hey, we appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for hanging with us and enjoy your weekend at the OU Baylor game.
Okay, good to be with you guys.
Thanks, all right, there's Coach Stoops right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good guy, he really is. Know him a little bit behind the scenes, and he's very gregarious like that. He doesn't care who, you know. There's no pretension. Not the least bit pretentious whatsoever. And
you know who else is pretentious?
Who?
Craig DeSerf.
No, not at all. Oh, no, he'll come in here screaming at you.
Yeah, in a good way though.
Yeah, yeah.
Lance Sherline, like, you hear that? Yeah, yeah, you hear that? Yeah. Gregarious is a word that we use with him.
Right.
And it's those guys who are actually really fun to work with because he keeps it light. He keeps people happy over there. You don't see any turnover at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. You get great prices, great deals. A lot of different Astros, including Carlos Correa, you know, has purchased vehicles for his mom and his dad over the years. Altuve in there. It's because people recognize good deals and good offers, and they recognize customer service that's second to none. And that's what you get with my friend over in Angleton. And I consider Craig DeSerf and Rick Drenner and their entire crew friends because I've been with them for so many years. Check them out for yourself online at LanceZCars.com. They got some great purchase allowances going on right now for a multitude of vehicles. But just ask, say, hey, what are the best deals I can get right now? And they'll run you through the gauntlet. LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, quick segment here. We went long with Coach Stoops, but you know what? That's what we should do. Go long with Coach Stoops and then short with just us. That's probably the way to go about this. Hey, take the workday off and play a round of golf with your favorite sports station at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting the Latino Learning Center. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, December 1st at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. That's my boys out there. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits, lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Yeah, come on. Frankie's Italian Kitchen for lunch and Orleans for dinner. I'm telling you, it's going to be some good vittles, okay? Eating, drinking, playing golf. What? You better sign up now.
Just say
I would go now.
I'd go now.
Yeah, it sells, because it's going to sell out. It sells out every year. It sells out every year.
Hey, this is a fun little topic. We only have 2 minutes. Jeff Bezos apparently is interested in buying an NFL team. And I
He's also interested in killing Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, so.
Did you see how his
Bezos' wife or girlfriend
was looking at DiCaprio? In that, I mean, you want a woman to look at you like that. That's how you, that's what you
got one.
Yeah, I've seen Nicole. She doesn't look like you.
She doesn't.
She doesn't.
She doesn't look at me like
no,
that.
No, she looks at you when you're on your scooter going wee.
She looks embarrassed. She doesn't look at me like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
You sure about that, boss?
Yeah, I'm sure. Tough guy. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because I'm...
he's looking for a picture.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, does she? Is she looking up at you like...
God, dog it.
Yeah, you can't find it. You can't find that
I'm
picture.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
excuse me?
You said
it
something
It literally
dumb.
Doesn't get better than that.
Well...
It literally doesn't get any better than that after the Chicago Marathon. Yep. That's right.
That was...
Jeff Bezos
that
wishes
was 15
his wife
years
would look
ago.
At him. It wasn't. That was 5 years ago.
Well, that's this still a long time.
Ago.
This just happened the other day with
She didn't look at me like that yesterday, but
no.
Because I'm sick. But here I am fighting through it because I'm incredibly mentally tough. I'm not like a Longhorn player sitting on a bus after a 30-7 ass kicking. Okay. So Jeff Bezos wants to. Yeah. And you know what? Leonardo DiCaprio is a chronic overactor. I don't blame him for trying to get DiCaprio to fall off the cliff. Now, Jeff Bezos, all that stuff, owner of Amazon. He's worth a couple million dollars.
At least 2 million.
He's worth at least 100 million.
Yeah.
What do they say he makes a day, like 400 million a day or
a day.
Something like
right,
that?
Right.
So anyway, there's talk that he wants to own.
Could he own the
a team.
Texans?
Now, I've heard
Could
that
he please own the Texans?
Well, that's why I retweeted that and did four eyeballs. Because he's. So Texas, of course, has business. It's from a tax standpoint. It's a lot of companies want to move here. What's his name from Tesla is moving. Elon Musk is moving his place here. So
Joe Rogan moved here.
His podcast. There's a lot of places. A lot of people who want to move here.
Not to Austin though.
So Amazon, right? So Jeff Bezos, if he wants to own a team. This is it right here. Somebody told me he went to elementary school either in Houston or Texas or something. That's enough. That's enough of a connection. You've got fulfillment centers here in the Houston area. Why don't you, you could come check up on those. I assume he goes to his different places and checks up on everyone and says, everyone doing great? Everyone doing great? Fantastic. So he could go in and visit with his workers when he wants to while he's owning the Texans. Please. Sell
Please
the,
own
Texans
the Texans
to Jeff Bezos. Please own the Texans. Anybody rich, own the Texans. An EPL team, own the Texans.
Doc Linville?
Anybody? No, that's Linville commercial coming up.
Oh.
Don't Doc Linville doesn't. Even,
oh,
he does not have the money to own the Texans.
Well, you don't know that. You know
I
how
do.
Many hairs? How many people's
it's
hair
gonna take
he's
over?
Fixed?
It's going to take over $1 billion to get the Texans.
Oh.
So
what?
You need a billionaire to pay over $1 billion. Jeff Bezos, please own the Texans. I don't know if he'd be a good owner. I know he wouldn't be worse than Cal McNair. There's no way.
Over a billion? Way over a billion. You're closing in on three.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, you got to hit the B mark before you can own an
NFL team.
Oh, well,
and he's got like a 400 Bs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He could easily own this team. He doesn't need to get it financed or anything. He could just write a check. He could Venmo you $4
billion. Yeah.
Here. I'm a Cal.
What would it
Cal,
take?
What's your number? I'll just Venmo. I'll put it on your books on Cash App.
Like. Wait. Here's the problem, though. Like, what job could Cal possibly get after he sells the Tesla?
Professional lay in the sun guy and video game player. Start a Twitch channel where you're playing video games. He loves video games, right? Start your own Twitch channel. You're like, where he's on the bottom, or he's in the top right-hand screen or top left-hand screen, and then how he, you know, the video games he's playing, he could have a microphone and headphones. Like, those Twitchers make a lot of money. And Cal could be like, oh, you see right here, somebody hiding behind that wall, and we're going to flank them. And he could do a strategy for first-person shooter games.
He's playing Super Mario.
No, he's playing Pong.
Nobody's going to watch him play Pong.
He's 100% playing first-person shooter games. Cal's out there like, do. He's probably got VR where he's all...
No.
With this VR mask on, he's trying to grab things. And
I'm just
them.
Afraid that you know what, the family will go. Yeah, $4 billion's great, but what are we gonna? What's Cal gonna do?
Put him in a room somewhere. Just I don't care. Get out of my life. Just get out of my life. Put him in a room. Put him outside. Put him in a swimming pool. Let him ski.
No,
let him play video
games. Swimming pool.
Get out of my life.
By himself.
How about that? Just get out of my life.
You
and
can't
I'm tired
put him in
of
a swimming pool by himself.
Yeah, okay. With
floaties.
Lifeguards and floaties. I don't care. I just don't care. It's not my problem. I don't care what you do with them.
I just worry about
How
him.
Could you turn down Jeff Bezos' money?
I just worry about him.
You
I
can't.
Like to see him.
You can't. If he makes an offer, you have to sell. You have to sell. If you're
have Cal run for president.
Yeah, that's great. That's fine. I don't care.
What, like Connor?
Run for Congress.
Like Connor on Succession?
They're very similar. Like, so what exactly have you done, Cal? Cal and Connor from Succession are not that dissimilar. They're built differently, but they're very similar in terms of in the family. I'm assuming his brother is really more like Shiv or even Kendall or even Roman. I can tell you he's not like Connor. Cal is the Connor of their family.
Yes.
I don't care what happens. Why are you asking questions what are they going to do with
him? Except Logan wouldn't have given Connor the keys to Roystar.
Now you see what happens. If Roystar would have gone to Connor,
this is what would happen. The worst.
That's why you have a
business
dad.
Ever.
That's why you got Logan Roy has to get some credit. He doesn't want to turn it over to any of these nincompoops. He understands. You know, that's why the whole
show is
called.
Look what happens when you don't think this out, Succession.
The whole show is called Succession because the succession plans are not good.
No.
This is what happens. When Connor owns Royco Royster, what is it? Whatever it is. Yeah, this is what happens. This is what happens when Connor owns it. It's this, the Texans.
That's what happens.
We're living it. Where's Jerry? Who's Jack Easterby? I don't even know who Jack, you know who he is? He's that other guy, Carl, or whatever.
Yeah.
The Weasel, one of the Weasley guys who, jeez. I mean, God. We're living.
901 ESPN.
Bill O'Brien was Logan.
What about Doc Linville buying him?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Because Doc Linville can after he fixes everybody's hair in the city of Houston. That's what he's doing. He's fixing everybody's hair. And then when he's done fixing everybody's hair, he's going to own the Texans. He's going to have bees. Well, he doesn't charge that much, actually. Actually, it's very affordable. Actually, the results are great. I don't know if he wants to own the Texans as big as nincompoops as those people are, as incompetent as the Texans organization is. You know who's not incompetent? Doc Linville. Doc Linville's got a thriving business where he's helping people. He's doing all kinds of different types of surgeries, cosmetic surgeries, and hair. So if you're looking for a great way to get your hair back, I did, and I love it. Everybody, I mean, I was with buddies, and one guy was behind me. He goes, "What the hell? Your hair? You do have hair. What the hell happened? What the hell? How did you get hair?" And I said, "It's easy. You go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.